Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, 2009, January. Take a guess on what day it is. 16th, halfway through the month already. We've been working on the book. We've got our host, Bella Bird. And now Bella wants to hear a little intro music here. A little Voyager from Andromeda with Love to warm up your appetite for a hot show. Steve Barish will be out here soon in a couple of weeks. On the air now. We had a little warm-up music. Get everybody in their hammocks and their easy chairs. We're recording live on the air. Bella Bird just had a shot. I think she wants another shot of Shaolutzie. Hey, Steve, you know, you're on tonight. What do you think of my sidekick out here drinking all my Shaolutzie?
Well, she probably wants it because it's really good stuff.
Oh, she loves it. Here, get in there. Whoa, that's good stuff, Dad. Whoa. Boy, that's all. You're drinking the whole thing. You save some for me? So tell us what happened. I heard you had an exciting event today.
Oh, my God, yeah. What happened was I got my platinum projector. And
what's the big deal about that? You've had projectors before.
Well, this thing is unbelievably powerful. I had the 18-karat gold one with a platinum bridge, but this is platinum with a gold bridge, and it's so powerful, Fred. I went over to my friend's house this evening,
right?
And I put my hand on his hand, and he said it felt like a basketball was in his hand. It was just pure white light.
Wow.
And I was out for dinner tonight with two lady friends of mine that are very much into energy, and I did the same thing with them, and their hands got actually hot.
Wow.
I mean, real hot. Usually it turns hot, but this was really hot. My hand was about a foot above there, so it's really, I'm getting used to it. It's just absolutely fabulous. The amazing thing is, Fred, is that today I had six massages lined up.
Right.
And within 15 minutes, because I had to wait home, I couldn't find anybody to sit home to get, to wait for my projector. Within 15 minutes, every one of those clients called and canceled.
You're kidding.
No. They called and canceled within 15 minutes, Fred, every one of them. And the projector must have wanted me awfully bad because they all booked for this week coming and the following week.
So they rebooked.
They rebooked, yes.
That's the power of the projector.
It's unbelievable.
We have a lady. What is it? Oh, it's a guy. It's a guy. He owns a company, not Monex, which you... you'll see it on MSNBC, and you'll see it Monex, and you'll see it on CNN. They advertise Monex. They sell gold, and they're out of Newport Beach, California. Well, they have they're probably one of the larger mnemonic coin distributors, but you can buy platinum, gold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They trade. I didn't look at what it's stuff for. By the way, guys in the engineering room, get the front page of BBS up with our video, because we are on video, and we don't have the number of listeners or viewers that we normally have. So anyway, one of my clients is the competitor to Monex.
Mm-hmm.
He's a competitor, and we're talking. You know, these guys have. Well, you don't want to know how much money they have in bullion and coins,
mm-hmm,
and all
mm-hmm,
of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other day he wanted a projector, just a silver one. So he traded me some gold coins for it.
Wow.
And solid gold coins.
Mm-hmm.
But what he called, he wanted the Baltimore, I guess, Orioles baseball team. They'd been losing a lot for many years. So he called Mikkel up because she has the big projector here, and we can do favors for people that feels comfortable with energy wise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he said, "Would you make this? The ball team is playing right now. They're not doing too well, but I want them to win." So she says, "Okay, we can program for that." So she doesn't know a baseball from barely knows baseball from football. Although she knows the difference, but I mean she's not up on it. But she programmed for them Baltimore Orioles to win. He called about 3 hours later and says, "I don't know what you did. It's the first win they've had, I don't know, in 10 years or something, and it was the highest score they've ever had. Period."
Mm-hmm.
So he really liked that, you know. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we do for people. And I don't know how you're doing with money right now, but now that you've got that platinum projector, you program for that, you're going to have it all over the place.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Then he called. This is before we did the trade. He was still using the receptor for. He wore a silver receptor for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So then he called again. When we were doing right after we did the trade, I guess the gold coins had been shipped, and he'd received his projector already. He'd gotten
mm-hmm.
it, and he asked her again to do something for the Baltimore team, and she did it, and I guess they won again. So that's two down. You know, I mean that's what I did that one time with Peyton Manning in a game. He
mm-hmm.
was way behind, you know, in the Colts,
mm-hmm.
and. And it was the game that was going to get them into the Super Bowl. It was the last. It was last year. It was they were playing up against. I forget who they were playing against, but they were in the last game of the playoffs. They didn't win this game. They never would have made the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I broke. And they were drastically behind the score. And I said, you know, I'm not used to doing this kind of stuff. You know, throwing a ball game. But I'm going to do it because I think Peyton Manning deserves to have, you know, a Super Bowl ring. So I programmed for a good score, and suddenly they got an interception from the other team, made a touchdown. The other team then came back, played again, didn't get very far, had to kick it off, and then
mm-hmm.
The Colts had a touchdown. That's 14 points within about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. And they, of course, won and got into the Super Bowl and won that. So that was, I was afraid that I would screw the game up. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mean, that sounds like a heck of a lot of a ego talk, but when you play with these things and you realize what they can do, they do that. I mean, they actually do that. And you saw it today. Now, how often do you get six people canceling and rescheduling in one day?
Never. It's never happened to me, Fred, and I've been doing this for 16 years.
Yeah. How many cancellations do you typically get in a month?
Maybe one, maybe.
Yeah. So there you go, and you got six in a row.
Yeah, six in a row in one day in 15 minutes, which is amazing.
Yeah, these things are, I'm well into my book now. I know people are tired of hearing that, but bottom line is this book is coming along really well. I've had everything thrown at my computers you can possibly throw at them, to the point where one of them had to be completely, the hard drive had to
mm-hmm.
be, these are my writing computers, had to be erased yesterday and a whole new format put in. But luckily I had a backup on another computer. I have had more stuff thrown at me to stop this book, you know, via the, you know, spam, and not spam, but viruses and And we just got to, you can't stop the book now. It's got its own energy now.
Right.
Really amazing. At some point, I'll read some of it. So if you look at the BBS radio, you'll see that we have an ad up there for that February 14th show that Steve will be at.
Yep.
You looking forward to it? Are you gonna come by plane? Are you training or what?
I think I might come by train again, Fred.
Are you?
Yeah, I think I might. I enjoyed that ride so much last time. I've
done it and more than once, and not from here to L. I've gone L.A. to New York and back once, but I've done lots of training back on the East Coast, and done lots of training in Japan and Europe and different places. And I think training in England. I love training in England.
Mm-hmm.
Best trains
mm-hmm.
ever. And they're not as fast as the Jap models, but, you know, we're sitting on a train one day in outside of Tokyo going up to Kyoto,
mm-hmm.
and we're sitting there a glass of wine, and I just noticed this big round dial. I'm just sitting out the window, and it's so smooth, you don't even know you're moving, you can't hear any air.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the speedometer. There's a thing up there, and it's a speedometer. We're going 150 miles an hour, and the wine didn't even shake in the glass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty good, huh?
That's incredible. That's incredible. They go that fast over there, huh?
Oh, yeah. The record on one right now, the train record mm-hmm. on a maglev is 356 miles an hour right now.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Those ones they run underground between Denver and Area 51 and Denver and New Mexico. Yeah, New Mexico, but mainly the Barry Goldwater test site down there in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They run up around 500 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They use some ET propulsion or something in them.
Mm.
Pretty
That's
cool,
incredible.
Huh?
That's incredible, Fred.
Yeah. So now you realize, people don't realize that platinum, that Steve is wearing 2.5 ounces of platinum, which is the highest energy frequency metal there is practically, and 0.5 ounce of gold all molded into a projector with 4 diamonds. That you got to be cooking right now.
It's my whole face is lighting up, and I'm seeing so much energy around me.
Yeah. This,
actually, the aura has got a ring around the aura. It's just incredible. I've never seen as pure white light. It's about 4 feet away from my body, and it's about 2 inches thick, and it's just a pure white aura. I've never seen anything like it before, Fred.
Yeah, well, it's pretty intense, you know. Luckily, you have a gold projector. I had a conversation today with a guy, and I was explaining to him. He didn't understand the density of the metals and the type of metals that we use. And what mm-hmm. the difference, like, a lot of people don't understand in a normal receptor, which we started making back in 81, which is made out of cadmium, which absorbs radiation, has the basic shape, but doesn't have the power of a silver one because the molecular structure is different. When you get into a silver nuclear receptor, you're looking at a tetrahedral molecular structure of silver, and so it also absorbs radiation out of your body, but a lot more than the cadmium one. The cadmium one just absorbs a minimal amount to keep you kind of like feeling that it's doing something, and you don't have to wash it off. But a silver one, you have to wash it off every day or it becomes radioactive. And that's why we started selling Geiger counters, because those real sensitive Geiger counters that we sell, the expensive ones, will mm-hmm. measure some of this radiation. These things become radioactive. So that's not an irrefutable point. And so I was explaining to him that the silver one is the way to go. And then, of course, the gold one is even more energy. It's a little softer. I think the silver one is a little more intense than the gold one, but the gold one has the 18-karat gold molecule, which is an octahedron, which is more lending itself to the shape of the pyramids that are on the face. So that has it hasn't got the intensity of a silver one, but it's got a more of a healing, balancing, and it's a deeper power. Well, if you're going to wear we always suggest that you wear a receptor first, because the receptor is a battery charger, meaning you, the batteries, because mm-hmm. it's working mm-hmm. with your DNA. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is, when you start putting a projector on, the projector discharges your DNA. It doesn't shorten it, but it respirals it into the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. So when you're respiraling your DNA into the fourth dimension, what you're really doing is you're going quantum with it. And when you go quantum with it, you're establishing an Einstein-Rosen bridge or a black hole directly into what you want, whether it's a desire, a healing, a ball game being won, whatever. You're making a direct connection with the source energy that's causing that ball game to be played or that person to get sick and you want to heal them. You're hooking with a source energy. That's entanglement. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when you start playing around with these high-powered projectors, you really need a high-powered battery charger. For example, if you have a motorcycle battery, it takes a smaller battery charger. But if you've got a great big giant semi-truck, a motorcycle trickle battery charger is not going to do much for a semi-truck. And you need a giant battery charger for that. So that's kind of how this works when you work with these receptors. And that's why we always have said that we think you should wear a receptor before you get into the projector technology to get the best result. Because what happens is, as Mikkel found out, and a lot of people found out when they put on these more powerful projectors, they get a lot of things done really fast, and then there's not then they just sort of collapse mentally and physically. They just it turns them into, you know, kind of a worthless heap until they sleep and recharge themselves. Try to avoid that.
Yeah.
Now you're wearing the most powerful projector in the world right now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you can tell.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm seeing things in the fourth dimension. I'd have to tell you privately, Fred.
Okay.
I just it's so much to see that it's just I'm seeing UFOs all over the place.
Well, but you haven't been to this property yet here.
No.
High in the world of I don't know what you call the Duluth area of Fallbrook and Temecula, high in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the UFO energy out here is incredible.
Yep.
Incredible, that's all I can say.
Yeah, and there's so much that I'm seeing. What's happening right now is that my third eye is my full face, and I've been seeing that for the last year or so, and I suspect it's due from the projector that I was wearing and the receptor both at the same time.
Yeah,
but now,
you really don't want, maybe I don't want, I'm speaking for myself, but I really would not suggest that a person wearing what you're got on now with that design, you know, that more advanced design, I really wouldn't be wearing a receptor with it.
Yeah, I took my receptor off this evening, I think around 3:30.
Yeah.
And I'm just enjoying the energy of it, and I'm seeing so much light in my face and in my hands around my body, and I'm seeing almost the air in molecular structure. Everything's changing, Fred.
Well, you're seeing, you know, back at the turn of this is one of the things I'm writing about in my book, is, you know, I started off with, in the science part, the history of science. And I started off with Thales that lived about 550 B.C. And coming all the way, right now I'm writing, I just finished today a chapter on our section on Benjamin Franklin. Now I'm going into Oersted, Maxwell, and Ohm, all the guys that did the electricity. But before the electricity, we were looking at the Copernican theory of the Earth being the center and everything rotating around it in the previous theories before that, and how everything changed from Copernicus to the present-day Ptolemy view, which is the more present view of the way
right.
it really works. But the Copernican formula of the fact that everything went around the Earth goes back, held up for 1,400 years. The Church supported that, and it was a heresy if you went against the Church on that. But that changed that changed in 1600 with Ptolemy. But the bottom line was, science has gone a long way. So when I was looking, I started looking, you know, looking at these guys, and I'm doing research from many different angles, and I began to see the influence of where they started. You know, first of all, most of them were living in a very strong religious time. And the Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church, and the were big competitors And as long as you stayed within the confines of the church with your science and didn't blast people, mm-hmm. that was okay. But about the 16th century, guys started tuning into the White Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see, like, scientists that, I won't name them all because they're in the book, but scientists would be Orthodox, go to Orthodox schools, and then suddenly, after a certain period of time, switch and go completely in a different direction, where mm-hmm. spirit and trying to define matter through spirit and connecting with having visions. Some of them had visions of things that were going to happen in the future, which happened, which were documented. This is back mm-hmm. in the 16th century now.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see where the White Brotherhood and these spiritual brotherhoods are starting to infiltrate enough. The consciousness of the world has gotten to a point where these brotherhoods actually affect the modern people, the modern Orthodox scientific thinkers. You know, it started pretty much after Isaac Newton. You know, Isaac mm-hmm. Newton, a lot of people don't realize, was also a criminal attorney for the king. He was a prosecutor. He prosecuted 200 cases and sent 10 people to the gallows as a mm-hmm. prosecutor. This was Newton. You know, everything is in motion, tends to stay in motion, and, you know, an object at rest tends to stay at rest. He was a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
you know, in later years, and then he became very spiritual and dropped it all. He lived to pretty old, ripe old age, and after him, the whole scientific vibration changed. And if you look at why that happened, it's because we're going around the Pleiades every 26,827.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with the precession of the equinox. Now, which is funny, if you look at the Mayan civilization, that is about 500 or 600 years before Christ, and you're coming up to about 1,200 years A.D., they didn't have to go with the Copernican system. The Mayans had all of this scientific stuff down pat,
mm-hmm.
as far as motion. And so they were obviously getting an extraterrestrial visit, where the Europeans were getting this brotherhood energy. You follow
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
But the Europeans didn't really lock into the truth until the 16th century, and the Mayans were already extinct by then.
Yeah.
Where the Mayans fell down is that they started offering human sacrifices once the extraterrestrials went away to attract them back, and that was the destruction of their civilization.
Yeah, yeah.
Even their numbering code is like our Morse code in telegraphy. This
wow.
is all in my book, by the way, but I'm just sharing mm-hmm. with you some mm-hmm. of the stuff that we're bringing to light.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's going to be a heck of a book.
You know, we're also going to show the origin of the satellite programs and spy satellites into your consciousness, and that's another series of the book. This mm-hmm. is one section. We're going to show Big Pharma. We're going to talk about the latest drugs and how they influence you into the spy community, into the spy satellites. But what I'm doing now is I'm building a background of all the people that had all the different influences in different fields, and combining that and bringing it right out to like the center. You know, it's like we're going to the center of the circle here.
Yeah.
So that people can see from this outside, you know, a section of the outside rim was European science, some of it was Mayan science, some of it was chemical science, drug science. You know, it's really an interesting book how it's coming
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm.
And in the research, I'm learning a lot too, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So this book's coming along. But what I'm getting at with all of this is the fact that now, you know, scientists today, you know, we're coming up with a technology, we finally understand shape energy, and we're pulling upon what they used to call amulets, but now we have CNC machines, and we can cut pyramids to 10,000ths of an inch and place them on a, you know, a quarter-inch disc or half-inch disc like you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can make quantum stuff happen. That was unfathomable back during the time, you know, the 16th century. And literally, with this energy going on, you can go to the extraterrestrial level, the White Brotherhood level, the Blue Lodge, Blue Brotherhood level. You can go to all these levels merely by tuning your consciousness into what you're wearing and how it's affecting your physical body function.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You follow me?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
This would be like the last chapter in the book about how this all comes together, but the bottom line is, you know, coming right into string theory, which defines the musical sounds that create the atomic motion, which gives you the atomic lotion of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're having a lot of fun over here. And finally, down here in the mountains, well, nobody bugs me every day. I mean, we're out here in the middle of nowhere, and as you'll see when you get here,
yeah,
get all the interruptions, so I get a clear channel to whatever source, you could say, is sourcing me to get this book done.
You know what I think I'm going to do, Fred, when I get finished with the finances of this projector, I think I'm going to get a... I think I'm going to get a platinum receptor. Receptor, yeah. There's no question about it. It's just...
They're intense. Let me tell you something. Our buddy Wesley Snipes, who you and I have both spoken to numerous times.
Sure.
When he got that platinum receptor stolen out of his luggage over in Heathrow when he was going down to Nvidia to film that three movies back. Now he's done three since then. None of them are out yet. He called me right away and says, Fred, this thing's been stolen. I can't make this movie. I'm not going to make this movie or finish it until I get my receptor on. He wore that underneath that strange outfit that he wore when you see the movie when it comes out. He's wearing a receptor under there. And, of course, him and Bernie Mac, before Bernie Mac passed on, he always wore it with Bernie Mac. You'd see him in a lot of on television, everything, wearing that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it improved his... speed and accuracy with martial arts. Like I say, you know, he's in the Blade Runner, the Blade, he'd run up against the wall and then go so fast he could walk up the wall and walk across the ceiling and flip over, you know. He said he could do that on a good day. He said when he didn't have that projector, from what he was telling me, he didn't say it directly, but it sounded like if he didn't have his projector before he did some of his own stunts like that, he had a crash. He said on a bad day, he didn't do so well, and he fell halfway through.
Yep.
You know, that's a pretty nasty fall.
You know, I talked to him about 3 months ago. You know, we moved some projectors around in his house.
Yeah.
And he said, Steve, you know, I'm going to make a movie with these with the receptor and the projector.
Yeah.
And we talked about that for about a half hour. And we were really getting into it. And I said to him, I said, you know, you could really change the world with this product. I mean, you know, you could really make the world a better place just by talking about that and letting people see what it can actually do.
Yeah.
You know, and so we talked for quite a while. He's a very interesting man.
Well, he's very smart.
Very smart.
Very smart.
Yep.
This guy is incredibly smart, and he doesn't miss a trick, and he doesn't forget anything.
No.
He doesn't, I can start talking to him about something. Oh, yeah, Dr. Fred, 5 years ago you said that. I remember that conversation, Scary. But on top of that, he has the physical discipline to go with it, which I never had. I had a little of it, but my God, in martial arts, he's a Bruce Lee. I've seen him work out, and he's got a body like Bruce Lee. Every single ounce of his body is a muscle that does something, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's an incredible man.
Sculpted, incredible. You know, Roman warrior or something, you know?
He's just, he's so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly fast.
Yeah.
But a very sweet man.
Yeah, he's very humble.
Very, very humble. With everything he has, he's very humble.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a different, he's a different kind of guy.
Yeah. And he's got a full projector system with a four, and he's got everything in platinum, and he uses it. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He uses it.
I'll tell you this projector I'm wearing. I remember wearing the gold one, and how balanced it made me, and how grounded I was. This one's like, it could be 5,000 times the amount of the gold one.
Oh yeah,
it's just incredible. I mean, I feel, and I'm usually very focused, but it's like it's 5,000 times more focusable.
Yeah.
It's just
you're just wearing the silver one. So, my estimation of a silver projector versus a platinum projector is that the silver projector, if you wanted to make a scale 0 to 100, the platinum projector would be somewhere off past 100 somewhere. That's my esteem of it.
Yeah.
Is that how you look at it or not?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This thing is... absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, I'm supposed to go to Scranton tomorrow.
Yeah, and, you're supposed to do a seminar.
I'm going to do a big show down there with a lot of our products.
Yeah.
And hopefully the weather will hold up. It's supposed to snow tomorrow, but maybe we can talk about, you know, using the projector and getting through that, because it's about, it's 2 degrees right now outside without the wind chill factor. I have no idea what it is there. But I'm looking forward to going down there. So there's a lot of people in Scranton waiting to see me. And so it should be a lot of fun.
Well, when you get down there, you're going down there, what's his name, Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeff Harvey?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get down there, try to show them that demonstration.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do, Fred.
With the remote viewing,
yes,
quantum entanglement two-party deal, you know, that we
right,
do.
Right, right, right.
Because that's the best entanglement demonstration. We'll do that out here in L.A. We're gonna freak people out when we do that.
Well, we always do that. That's really, it's a lot of fun. We did that in New York. We did it in L.A. It's a lot of fun to do. I mean, people are really blown away with it.
Yeah, they are. Well, you know, one of the things that I program for, because I have to travel on planes a lot,
mm-hmm,
is safer airplanes and people not getting killed in airplanes anymore.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see that happen because I realized that the inspection standards are, you know, people just don't give a damn. Or if excuse the vernacular, give a shit
mm-hmm
about their jobs anymore. No wonder so many American jobs are gone, is because the employees, when they're at work, they don't work. They just goof off.
Right.
I mean, I see it all the time.
Right.
And that's sad. And so people wonder why, well, Chinese have all the money. They're just loaned us $3 trillion or $4 trillion,
mm-hmm,
which should have been our money. And it's too bad that we have to, the people are, this is going this way. For example, General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, I mean, they should have made something like the Prius that Toyota makes years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than that, mm-hmm, they weren't thinking ahead. Oh, everybody's buying these gas guzzlers, these great big giant
mm-hmm
things.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the Arabs, they say, well, cool, man, we'll just, we'll raise the gas price. These people can afford to spend $60,000 to $80,000 on an SUV, they can afford to pay $10 a gallon for gas,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah
they do in Germany and Europe.
Yeah.
So as a result, nobody paid attention. Everybody fell asleep at the switch. And boom, you know, even, you know, there goes the big three of the cars.
Yeah.
Didn't have a single product on the drawing board that made a damn bit of sense. Nothing green. So
you know, it's very interesting
green
when
now.
When you and I were growing up, we were both in the 60s, in the mid-60s.
I grew up in Detroit. Yeah.
Right. And the main thing was, is our fathers taught us that when you shook a man's hand, that was it.
That's it. You didn't
and,
have to write
and
a
I'll tell you something.
Paper.
They don't have that today. That value is gone.
And when you take a paycheck home, a penny is earned.
Yes.
Spend is a penny earned.
Yes.
You know, I was writing about Benjamin Franklin on that today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And penny wise, pound foolish.
That's
and,
right.
A
penny saved
was back
is a penny
in,
earned, yeah.
In that little newspaper that he used to write.
Yep.
And under a pseudonym, different name. That's the way, that was the work ethic. And,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, I've been around in Laguna Beach, of course. Growing up, I was around a lot of trust funders anyway because I never had any money. My parents, my dad had a lot of money. My mother had never had any, and I lived with my mother, so obviously I didn't have any. I had to earn my own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I came out here to California and got exposed to all these trust funders, none of them enjoyed the money. None
mm-hmm
of them. They
mm-hmm
just got fried on drugs and ended up in rehabs or dead.
Right, right, right.
The ones that made it came out of rehab, got jobs and counseling and that, didn't look at how much money they had or had had, maybe they'd spent it on drugs by then,
mm-hmm,
got into positions where they help other people as a career,
mm-hmm,
and became very successful.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that didn't don't exist anymore.
Right, right, right.
We all need to provide a service.
Yes, we do.
For success.
Yes, we do.
And I love the teachings of a lot of these, you know, really, really well-known counselors out there that say, you know, bottom line is, if you, the days that you're depressed, you know, not feeling good,
mm-hmm.
help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Go put your space. You know, when I was volunteering over there for that group in Orange County where people had brain injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
you know, these are people that have been riding their bicycles and help. I wasn't mm-hmm. getting paid for that,
mm-hmm.
you know. I still mm-hmm. donate and take things over there to them, but I got to actually work there off and on for a year. I took a period of my life and I went and worked. It's called Higher Hopes, High Hopes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of my judge friends told me about it, and I went over there. And when I was in High Hopes, I was dealing with people. Some of them famous. Pat Boone's grandson was in there, been in a head injury. Some people nobody ever heard of. I was helping him run a computer, helping him talk. You learn to speak again, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are the highest moments, some of the highest moments that I've ever experienced in my life, helping those people.
I bet.
And the days that I wish it was a little bit closer, because sometimes you wake up and you're thinking you're down, you're depressed and whatever. And when that happens, I just go over to High Hopes and they cheer me up. I go over there and cheer them up, they cheer me up.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
really great.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good for you, man.
That's what people need to do. I mean, you know what you will. You get a taste of it every day because of what you do, you know.
Yes. But I should go back. I used to go to the Jewish home, which is across the street from me.
Yeah.
And I would see these people that are 80s and 90s, you know, in their beds and they're, you know, and you go over and you talk to them, you make them feel better. And, it makes me feel better.
Yeah, because you're lending a service.
Right.
Lending a service.
You're making somebody happy.
Yeah.
And now I just don't have time to do that because I'm so busy doing, you know, everything else. But I'd love to do that back. That was a good time in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I haven't been to High Hopes probably in 7 or 8 months, but I still call them up and I go over there and I buy them. I helped set up a music department over there.
Beautiful.
Bought them a beautiful synthesizer, took it over there, bought them a bunch of, some of them are, you know, one guy was in a wheelchair and nothing probably worked and mm-hmm. he couldn't hardly keep his eyes open. He just smiled. He was actually a fairly wealthy guy and very intelligent. He got in some kind of a wreck and it just laid him up in a wheelchair where he's laid back,
mm-hmm.
barely keep his eyes open anymore. Still a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, we'd get that music department going and he lay there with his eyes closed and he would just smile and what few arm movements he could make, he'd be rocking in his wheelchair.
You know, it's really interesting, but I wanted to tell you about... Hello?
Yeah.
Did somebody... I just heard a beep. I wasn't sure if somebody was on the phone or not. I guess not. But what I wanted to tell you was I've been using your... I just got the tapes from Andromeda and all the tapes.
Yeah.
And I've been playing them for some of my clients. And, boy, let me tell you something. That really wakens up the chakras.
Oh, yeah.
Really great music.
Got the From Andromeda with Love?
Yes.
Yeah, that song Rishi will really do it to you. It's 12 minutes long.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. But all your tapes, I've got all the tapes now because Mikkel had sent me them, and they are so beautiful. My God, the energy in them is fabulous.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sitting here right now. I got to put a different camera on here, but I'm in my recording studio right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of them
mm-hmm.
I have two recording studios now. They're connected,
mm-hmm.
and one does one thing. Actually, there's three sections to this thing now.
Mm-hmm.
We got the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the engineer sits out there in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is we're going to be making some holographic music soon.
Oh, wow.
The book is done. Well, here's what the schedule is, and it's always way late, but when the book is done, then I'm going to do the music, and we're working on, of course, we're out here doing the X1, too. So then I'm going to go out and do the music, and then I'm going to come out and play some concerts again.
Boy, that'd be nice.
Travel around the country and do some concerts. Yeah, I love doing that. I haven't done it since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can do it any time. Age doesn't really matter. You know, it's like...
Right.
Bands, they get all screwed up on drugs, and 10 years later, they come back better than ever. Well, I'm not screwed up on drugs. I'm just screwed up on work. Drugs are no problem, but work is. So anyway, and when I get my work done, which is my commitment to get this next book out for the world, then I'll come back and I'll do some music, and then wait to hear what we got. I got some sounds like you haven't heard yet.
Really?
I'm looking at a couple synthesizers that have never been recorded. I've never used them yet. I'm going to play with them.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I've never... all the necklaces I've worn past last 10 years, they're incredible, but this thing is, like, unbelievable, Fred.
I know.
Unbelievable. I've never seen so much energy in my life.
Well, by tomorrow, when you do your radio show, and don't you tell everybody, always have new listeners, because we're running full-page ads now and stuff again, which we haven't done in months. We got BBS Radio mentioned, and the Rays of Truth TV website's picking up. So let people know about your radio show.
Yeah, I have a radio show. It's called the Steve Barish Healing Hour. It's on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and hopefully soon I'll be able to have a show on at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're waiting for something to happen.
What do you mean? You're going to have two shows?
No. He said that it would be better for me to be on a later time than an earlier time. He said that it's not the ratings as much as there would be more people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's at 6 o'clock, and it's an eating time where 9 o'clock everybody's settled in, and it would be really great. My ratings have been pretty high, Fred, lately. I don't know why or what's going on, but they're getting better.
No, I know. Your ratings are excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Remember, Don and I started this network in his apartment back in, I don't know what year it was now, my first archives.
Ooh.
And he started off, it was called Blog in Service.
Mm-hmm.
That's before I met Don.
Wow.
So then we decided, I met Don, and he was doing the blogins, and we decided he was starting to do a radio thing,
mm-hmm.
but it was just him and Win Free, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe one other show. So then I came on board, and I started doing my show, and I think my very first time that I ever did, according to our statistics, I had 7 listeners, pretty much locally, you know what I mean,
right,
around the country here.
Right.
And pretty soon I had 13 listeners. People think that, well, you know, he's making that up. But no, I wasn't making it up. Now, meanwhile, I'd go on Art Bell and I'd have, you know, 2 or 3 million listeners.
Right.
Or I'd go on George Norrie. By the way, you'll meet George Norrie. You can have dinner with him if you want.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And set that up.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's like the radio god right now. And So anyway, yeah, let me know if you want to have dinner with George Norrie.
As long as you're going to be there, it'd be great. It'd be a lot of fun.
6 o'clock on Saturday night, and you can have dinner with him. He's going to have a small group in there, and I think you should meet George Norrie.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful to do.
So I got on the show with George. Well, actually, it was Ian Punnett first, and then I promoted, I did the Art Bell show long before BBS Radio was around.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. I've been doing it for 14
mm-hmm.
years, but...
Right.
So anyway, finally, one night I talked to Lisa Lyon, and she said, go ahead and promote your internet show. Now, of course, Alex Jones goes on, he promotes the hell out of it, but I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to promote another radio show on another radio show,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I promoted the radio show on there, and I guess we picked up about 1 million listeners, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of
mm-hmm.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not all listening at once, but over the time, we get a lot of listeners.
I think it's wonderful, Fred. I think what we're doing is really good stuff. I think we're helping a lot of people, Fred.
Yeah, and the main message is that people help themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But the main thing...
We're down to six. We got about 10 minutes left. If anybody wants to call in on any subject, I don't care what it is, as long as it's not lewd, you call Larry Flint for that. What did you think of the bailout, Larry Flint and the kid that does that other thing that, hey, man, we got to bail out the porn industry.
Wow.
Actually, the porn industry makes so much money, they could have probably bailed out the banks. Had that one
incredible.
A little bit wrong, you know.
That's incredible. The thing that I was amazed with is this plane that went down in New York.
Now you got a caller. Go ahead, caller. Who's calling in?
Hello?
Oh, there's somebody out there. Maybe it's somebody on my phone calling into my phone. You can't call my phone right now. We're on the air.
Right.
So go ahead, tell your story.
No, I was just saying about the pilot that saved all those people in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah. What's his name? Buzz? He's an old... I've got some buddies that used to fly in the Air Force and the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew those F-4s.
And
the other thing, he flew gliders. He's a glider pilot.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm a glider pilot. And I'll tell you
what.
When I learned to fly gliders, I'm going to get one out here. I'm right here. I'm going to get a ultralight and I can land at my driveway. My driveway is so big I can land an airplane on it anyway.
Wow.
But anyway, when you get in a glider, they always tell you in a glider, keep the nose up. Meaning when you're flying in a glider, after flying in a power plane, the power plane, they always tell you to keep the nose down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I got it backwards. When you're in a power plane, they tell you to keep the nose up. Because if you don't, you start getting too much airspeed. You follow me?
Okay.
In the glider, you got to keep the nose down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it wants to just keep going up and up and stall. So it's the opposite way to fly. So I had a big... When I got my private pilot rating a long time ago, 72, I started flying gliders. I realized it was the opposite. But what I learned from flying gliders is you can go in a very high nose-up attitude and get a really cool stall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know for a fact when he came down over the Hudson River yesterday with that big old jet, once he closed all the orifices up, you know, so the water wouldn't leak in.
Right.
Switch for that. At the very last moment, and it would take a pilot like him to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably pulled a gigantic stall, but if he'd have done that too high, the plane would have fallen, the nose would have gone in, and they'd all be dead or drowned.
Mm-hmm.
He had to do it at the precise time in his glider training. I mean, he's flying the military stuff, because military jets are always blowing up, engines flaming out, and birds in them. That's normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, jumps out of a military jet once in their life. But
yeah,
he probably pulled this most fabulous stall. I just can't wait. Somebody must have got a video of that. Some kind of really high nose attitude, high, just make that thing splash.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, see, normally when you land a plane like that, you fly it onto the runway. That's what I learned flying twin engine and jets.
Mm-hmm.
Working on my multi-engine rating. Little Cessnas, little single-engine planes. You fly it down and you flare it. And you flare it at a certain point, it lands on the ground. And if you don't flare it, you're in ground effect and you use up all your runway and you run out of runway. So you got to do a little flare to kill the ground effect.
Right.
With a glider, you do a great big flare. But gliders, they have spoilers on the top part of their wings, which makes the flare easier. But what he did is he brought that jet down at a pretty... I guess he was coming down at about 140 knots or 140 miles an hour.
Wow.
Got it down on the ocean, the river, and he pulled a flare at exactly the right time. So it just... The nose went high, it stalled, and it crashed into the water,
right.
Made that big splash that they were talking about.
Yep.
Because anything less than that would have tore that plane up.
Yep.
And then the engines fell off, of course.
It's amazing. You take a look at that river. I mean, he's got the George Washington Bridge there. He's got the Brooklyn Bridge.
Cleared it by 900 feet.
Yeah, I mean, this guy should be praised for what he did.
Oh, he is. Believe me, and you know what? He's the kind of guy that don't want any of it.
Right, right.
He wouldn't even come on. I don't know, he might have gone on Larry King tonight. I didn't check, but he's out flying. He don't want nothing to do with it. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I understand how he thinks. You know, I really do. I'm not a hero like him, but I know what he pulled. I'm waiting to see the video.
I'd love to see that.
I hopefully got a video, maybe not, of the last 10 seconds of his landing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that'll be amazing.
He had to get a very high nose at it, high net. He had to get the engines just above the water where they weren't touching, and just when they're going to touch, pull that stick back, that yoke back, as hard as he could and get that nose as high as he could and get the wind underneath the thing where it blew the plane almost over backwards and then just fell into the water.
Was that Canadian geese that were doing that? Did they actually get caught?
I've heard everything. First I heard seagulls, and I knew that wasn't going on. Until the engines are on the bottom of the Hudson, so they pull the engines up, they'll know what it is.
Yeah. I guess there's nobody really knows until they really take a look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
And I guess that one lady, one of the stewardesses got hurt, probably up in the jump seat, got a leg laceration. I don't know how it happened, but she was probably the most damaged of all of them. And that other doctor guy who was interviewed today, a couple of times, and yesterday all day long, put a tourniquet on her and got her the bleeding stopped. Other than that, there really weren't any injuries. And sitting in that jump seat in the front, it probably broke.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that does. You know when you sit in the front of the plane?
Mm-hmm.
You see those little seats that pop down?
Yes.
Okay, that's called a jump seat. And they're sitting backwards, and I would imagine that seat collapsed and probably cut her leg. That's probably what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just guessing now.
Yeah.
And that's why she had a laceration on her legs. One of the stewardesses, the rest of them, the flight attendants, the rest of them didn't really get hurt at all.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. So, once again, we're wanting people not to get hurt in airplanes.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, we got about, I got two more minutes.
Yeah.
When are you going to get a bird? You need a sidekick like I got here.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I just feel good being with you, but are you talking about on my show?
No, I'm talking about having a bird on your shoulder.
Oh, well, that's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got Bella here, and then, of course, her boyfriend, a buddy, he's a little younger. Bella doesn't poop on.
Hello, somebody there? I just heard a beep.
I'm probably in the background. I don't know if Dr. Fred can hear me.
I can hear you.
Oh, well, good evening, and I know I'm calling in late, but I've been watching, and I was, Dr. Fred, I know we only have a couple of minutes.
That's all we got. Go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah, and I was wondering if I had called before and was the guy that had the laptop and called in and was watching you stream in my car, and I had to get out, and we were talking about hydrogen at that point, where, your body makes the hydrogen peroxide, the cells, and how the receptors help with that. But really what I wanted to talk about, and I know you can't do it tonight, but I really wanted to talk about maybe using solar panels like the for like a hydrogen fuel cell and like they do for the NASA shuttle.
Right.
Only maybe make it for something that would be more community-oriented. You know what I mean? Maybe it doesn't have to be so expensive. Maybe it just, even if it only put out, even if it was more than the current, 10 or 12% efficiency of a solar panel. Is that possible?
Yeah, and if you're going to build fuel cells, I would incorporate one of our, we have a thing called the, I call it the cosmic doubloon.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a receptor without the bridge on it.
Oh.
And I would incorporate that in there because it will bring you to the, anytime you have a fuel cell, you're dealing with electrolysis. And it will bring the efficiency of the electrolysis process up where you can start getting a lot higher efficiency producing electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Starts approaching a unity thing. That's another night of discussion, but that would work. I mean, fuel cells would work, and we have a technology that can be applied to a fuel cell, probably to increase its efficiency at least 40%.
Yeah.
Be significant in a fuel cell. And by the way, the U.S. government, with Obama coming in now, is going to be putting a huge amount of money. I saw some of the federal budget the other day. Huge amount of money is going into the funding of batteries. And fuel cells come under the auspices or the aegis of batteries.
Hmm. Yeah. I remember way back when, this was in the 90s, battery automated technology and those guys, they had it was like an additive that they added to batteries. And of course, that never took off because
my dad worked on that stuff. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dr. Fred, thank you for the show this evening. I'm going to let you go and say your goodbyes, but thank you for all you do.
Oh, well, we work hard at it. Thanks a lot. Come out and visit us in L.A. All right, Steve, give your phone number. I've got to go.
Bye. Yeah, area code 585-746-4699.
All right, you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. We're going to be out of here in about, I don't know, as quick as we can get out of here. Listen to my show tomorrow night, Can Show. Always full of surprises. A lot of technical jargon there. Thanks, gang. Good night, all.